Good evening. Will you please turn to New Testament, book of letter of Ephesians, Paul's letter to the church at Ephesus, the last chapter. And chapter 6, verses 18 through 24. Today's study or sermon's focus would be three verses, 18 through 20, but we will read from 18 through 24. This is God's infallible and holy word. With all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit. And with this in view, be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints. And pray on my behalf that utterance may be given to me in the opening of my mouth, to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in proclaiming it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak, but that you also may know about my circumstances, how I am doing. Tychicus, the beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, will make everything known to you. I have sent him to you for this very purpose, so that you may know about us, and that he may comfort your hearts. Peace be to the brethren, and love with faith from God, the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all those who love our Lord Jesus Christ with incorruptible love. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we are gathered here in Jesus' name to hear his word. Lord, when you preached on the earth, you found your divine words that were able to reach the hearts of your hearers. Your truth moved them deeply and promoted them to follow you and to live for you. Lord, do this to us through your word preached today. In Christ's merciful name I ask. Amen. If I ask you a simple question, what was the chief problem for centuries for armies in ancient days up till new technology? For centuries, one of the chief problems faced by armies had been battlefield communication. Soldiers in the battle must be able to speak to their leaders, and leaders must be able to communicate their strategies with their armies. That was the biggest problem up to the modern technology. For many years, this was an almost impossible problem. Most armies depended on runners to carry messages back and forth. With the advent of the telegraph and telegram, the problem was alleviated to some degree, some extent. Now, in modern times, armies communicate using satellites. Americans now more than any nations. This is how you captured Osama bin Laden a few years back. Orders can be relayed. Battlefield updates can be passed up the line. Replacements and provision can be requested. And decisions and change can be made that will have immediate impacts and on the outcomes. That's very important, and that's wonderful these days. Do you know that Christian soldiers have possessed this capacity for thousands of years to communication with their God before even the satellite system? At any time, we can call on the name of the Lord and we can request His help, share our burden with Him, and address any situation that arises. This should give us a great confidence as we serve the Lord in this world. We now come to the last, in our text, we come to the last words of Paul's great epistle. The last paragraph begins in chapter 6, verse 10, with the word, finally. If we look at the overall structure of the book of Ephesians, first three chapters have revealed that we have marvelous blessing in Jesus Christ. And the next three chapters have made one overall point, being different and living differently our Christian lives. But you know, we all know, such Christian living is not easy. In fact, it is a real battle. That's why in the previous seven verses to our text, we see Paul commands to put on the armor of God. That's real, because real battle. That's why in the previous seven chapters, verses 10 to 17, Paul gives direction about the spiritual warfare. Because this spiritual warfare is inevitable, the believer should muster strength for the struggle. Believers should seek that strength from Christ. And believers should, since his enemies are not human, but superhuman, Satan and all the power of darkness. Therefore, the believer needs are not only more than human strength, but also divine armor. He should therefore take the armor of God that he may be able to stand in the evil days. That armor consists of six things. I think the children know better than us, memorize better than us. Those six things are the belt of the truth, the breastplates of righteousness, 3, the shoes for the gospel of peace, 4, the shield of faith, 5, the helmet of salvation, and 6, the sword of the Spirit. And now in our text, finally, Paul adds prayer in verses 18 through 20. He adds not because he thinks of prayer as an unknown weapon. He's not thinking like that. But because it is essential throughout all our spiritual warfare. Prayer is essential throughout all our spiritual life. Equipping ourselves with God's armor is not mechanical operation. To obtain strength to use this armor correctly and to secure victory over ourselves, for ourselves and for the army of which we are part, our brothers and sisters here and around the world, we should pray. Prayer in itself is an expression of our dependence on God. William Gardner's, I was asking my daughter the spelling, G-U-R-N-A-L-L. So how do you say? Gardner or Gardner's? A great Puritan, William Gardner's classic work. Maybe you have seen that. His classic work, The Christian in Complete Armor, is a great work which runs approximately to 1,200 pages. And it is in double column format. And Gardner's uses 300 of those 1,200 pages, one-fourth of of his book, to talk about prayer. In our text, only 3 verses are given to prayer. But Garnels uses 100 pages per verse to explore the significance of prayer. Paul does not put forth prayer as a weapon, but as the means for utilizing the armor, has already talked about in last previous 7 verses. So I want to point out 3 truths from this text. Let me share with you 3 points. Those 3 points are my 3-point sermon. First is the concept of prayer. Second, the context of prayer and the content of prayer from this text. The concept of prayer, let's begin by defining prayer. And that's not maybe difficult for you to understand. Everybody knows here. Even many non-Christian people may know the definition of prayer. The word used here for prayer, it speaks of general request made to God. So if we take that definition, prayer is simply talking to God. Is that difficult? No. It's just simply talking to God. Some define prayer as the breath of a redeemed soul exhaling its needs and its worship toward God. I think this idea of prayer being the breath of soul was in Martin Luther's mind when he said, "To be a Christian without prayer is no more possible than to be alive without breathing." Thus, any time we turn our attention toward God and speak to Him, we are praying. And our prayer can take many forms. We pray in private. Other times, we pray in public. We pray in loud voices. Other times, we whisper our prayers. And sometimes, we pray in silence. We pray in all types of positions and postures. We sit, we stand, we kneel. We pray at home, at church, at work, or on vacation. We pray with our hands up. That's not maybe very much Reformed tradition, but we can pray. We pray with our hands up and heads down, and sometimes our heads up and hands down. We pray with our eyes open and closed. The Bible talks about many forms of prayer, places of prayer, postures of prayer, and circumstances of prayer. Yet the Bible does not exalt any form, place, posture, circumstances for prayer above another. Jesus prayed while he was here. He prayed standing, sitting, kneeling, and possibly in other postures as well. We can pray anywhere, at any time, about anything, and in any posture. Bible also talks about when we should pray. When we should pray. The Jews, you know, Jewish people of Paul's day, and even today, they had several prescribed times of daily prayer. At least maybe 3. Muslims in my home country and everywhere in the world, they have 5 particular times for prayer every day. Fajr, Zohar, Asr, Maghrib. Those are 5 times of prayers. So that is a dawn prayer, early in the morning, noon prayer, afternoon prayer, sunset prayer, and night prayer. Isha is the last one. Isha means in Arabic is to eat or have dinner. So after dinner, that's a dinner prayer. But it doesn't take at the dinner table. They go to, before eating dinner, they go to mosque and pray. So they have particular times to pray. Christianity also has a particular set time for prayer. You would say, what? What is our particular time? We can pray anytime. According to Scripture, according to Paul, our particular time for prayer is always. We pray always. Paul says praying always in verse 18. And praying at all seasons. The word always carries the idea of all at all times, according to NASB. And in ASV it says in or at all seasons, at every opportunity. The Bible speaks of this in several places. For example, Romans 12:12, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer. Again in Colossians chapter 4, verse 2, continue steadfastly in prayer, watching therein with thanksgiving. And a very common verse and very short verse, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17. Pray without ceasing. So our set time is praying always. There's no time. That means there's no time when we do not need to pray. And there's no time when we cannot pray. And there's no time when God will not be listening and hearing our prayers. However, to pray always does not mean that we walk around in attitude of formal prayer. So like Muslims they do. They make their faces, put their scarves on, and they are going to pray. And they show that they are very prayerful people. Neither Jesus nor his disciples did that. To pray always doesn't mean that we follow ritualistic prayers that are recited manually from the books, like Roman Catholics do. I've been doing before my college life, worshiping Mary. To pray always also doesn't mean that we count beads or repeat memorized prayers like Muslims they do. However, to pray always does mean that we live in a constant awareness of God and His presence always. To pray always does mean that the soul is ever reaching up toward God. When we are tempted, we call on Him, asking for His help. When we see sin and wickedness, we call on Him to work in the situation to make it right and to work it out for His own glory. That is to pray always. When we see something beautiful, we give thanks to God. When we enter a time of trouble, we look to God for help and deliverance. When we meet a lost sinner, we ask the Lord to convict them and save them, and we also ask for His help to witness to them. Most of the time, however, our lives should be a continual exhalation of the soul, breathing out its life for and its dependence upon God. That is the idea behind the phrase, be on the alert with all perseverance in our text. This means that we are to be alert, our prayer and our eyes should be opened to the needs around us, to the needs of our brothers and sisters in our church, in this country, and also around the world. There are many needs in the body you are part, and as you know. We are to be steadfast, constant, and persistent in our prayers for the needs of our church leaders, ministries, and families. That leads to the context of our prayer. Paul says that all of our praying should be done in the Spirit. Pray with all prayer and petition. Pray at all times in the Spirit. The most important thought Paul gives about prayer is that it should be in the Spirit. This supreme qualification for prayer has nothing to do with speaking in tongues or in some other dramatic ways. It implies the help of the Spirit in our weakness, relying on His power and wisdom, not our own. Also, praying in Spirit means submitting our minds, our thoughts, wills, and desires to be influenced and mastered by God's Word. As we submit to the Holy Spirit, obeying His Word and relying on His leading and strength, we will be drawn into close and deeper fellowship with the Father and the Son. The Spirit of God guides our praying by promoting us to pray about those things that bring glory to the Father. The Spirit in us knows what the Father wants. He helps us to conform our prayers to his will. The Father hears a prayer that had been shaped by the Holy Spirit and that has been offered through Jesus Christ, one and only mediator between man and God. That is how to pray in the Spirit. When our prayer is according to the revealed will of God, then the Father is honored, and He hears and answers our prayers. Thus, all prayer is circular. It begins with God, and it ends with God. Praying in Spirit means that the Spirit helps us when we pray, and the Spirit prays on our behalf, as we read in Romans chapter 8, verses 26 and 27. In the same way, the Spirit also helps our weaknesses, for we do not know how to pray as we should. But the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because He intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. The Spirit gives us confidence and inspires and guides us when we pray. So, in the context of prayer, we should pray according to the Spirit. This text also talks about and tells us some of the things that our prayer should fill. Paul divides our prayer lives into two parts. He used two words, prayer and petition. In Greek, these two words, the first word prayer refers to general requests. And the second word, petition in Greek, refers to those that are specific prayers. First, Paul mentions all prayer. This refers to prayer that is general in scope. That literally means all kinds of prayers. It is the kind of praying we do that is something non-specific, even we did today. For instance, there are times when we will pray for faithful preachers and missionaries. We pray for our persecuted brethren around the world. We pray for our fellow churches. We pray for many other things in the same way. We do not necessarily call out all the names, places, needs involved, but we pray for those and situation in a general way. I believe God hears those prayers. And He answers them. He knows our hearts and He knows the need for better than we do. Second Paul mentions the word petition or supplication. After non-specific or general category, Paul points out to some specific areas that we should occupy, that should occupy our praying. For example, he gives also example in the text. Pray for all the saints. In verse 18, Paul points out to some specific areas that occupy our praying. Pray for all the saints. Remember the word supplication? It refers to specific prayers. While we sometimes do not know what everybody in our church needs, there are other times when we do know the needs of our brethren. And Wednesday prayer, I think, is prayer meeting is that time when we pray for specific needs. Though we include general prayers, but also we pray specifically. If someone have sickness, if someone has lost people in his or her family, if someone has a financial need, if someone have burden, we can pray specifically about that. When the need is known, the prayer is specific. Paul gives a second example of prayer. He says, pray for me. He's asking pray for himself in verses 19 and 20. Now Paul makes some specific request for himself. He reminds his friends at Ephesus that he is in bonds or in chains. He assures them that his imprisonment is for the glory of God by calling himself an ambassador. His request for prayer is that he might be given utterance, that he might open his faith, his mouth, and speak boldly, and that he might make known the mystery of the gospel. This passage highlights two great truths. First, it highlights the needs for specific praying. We need to do that. And I'm thankful, we are so happy when even young kids, they give specific prayers. It highlights the needs for specific prayer. Paul asked for some very specific prayer to be prayed. When all of our praying is general in nature, we will never know when or if the Lord has answered the prayer. When we pray specifically, the Lord answers. He will. It doesn't mean that He doesn't answer our general prayers. There will be no doubt that He is the one who answered. Jesus repeatedly called on us to pray specifically. In John chapter 14, verse 13, whenever you ask in my name, that I will do, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. The second truth, it reminds us that it is okay to request prayer for oneself. I was very shy when I was in Korean church in early my life to ask for prayer request or to ask. I think it teaches us, it reminds us it's okay to request for prayer. Paul asked others to pray for him. When we have a need, we should call on the saints. And thank God, we have a prayer chain. That's a great idea, I think. That's great, wonderful. And thank you, Juan, serving for this body. So we should call on saints who know the Lord to pray for us and for our needs. Paul requested prayer for himself, but he did so for the glory of God. His primary concern was the mystery of the gospel, and his primary passion centered on the need to make Christ known. So we must pray unselfishly, because we are soldiers. We as soldiers are not in battle alone. Many are engaged in the same warfare, maybe around the world, see every day. Christian soldier must pray for leaders in particular. Paul was a leader. And we are to pray for our leaders. Leaders and their decisions and examples often determine the outcome of the battles. The Christian soldier has leaders who teach and preach and administer throughout the church and around the world. Boldness and decisiveness and purity are needed to put the enemy to fight, to capture souls for gospels. I want to conclude with this. Dear God's people, prayer is a precious resource. And the world doesn't know that. We should pray, we should make it one of our top priority of our lives. Let's commit ourselves to Him and seek His help to be prayer warriors. Let us labor to make the most of prayer at all times, in all things, that He might be glorified in this world and through this church. Let's pray. Almighty God and Heavenly Father, You have promised to hear and answer our request, which we make to You in the name of Your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. We are further taught by Him and His apostles to gather together in His name, with the promise that He will be among us and will intercede for us before You, that we may receive and obtain all things on which we are agreed on. Lord, help each of us to be prayer warriors. In Christ's gracious name I ask. Amen.